The world loses a pop icon in Aretha Franklin.
Gotta find me an angel.
We talk with Syracuse Jazz Fest director Frank Malfitano about her legacy, her appearance at Syracuse Jazz Fest, and their near 20-year friendship. Welcome to Pop Life. On August 16, 2018, we lost a true American treasure and a worldwide icon. For nearly 20 years, Syracuse Jazz Fest director Frank Malfitano has presented Aretha Franklin in concert, including here in Syracuse, and during that time developed a special friendship. We sat with Frank to chat about it on the day of the Queen of Soul's passing. Welcome, sir. Usually we get together and it's a more jovial reason, more celebratory reason. This happens to be sad, but still a celebration of life for one of the greatest artists of all time, Aretha Franklin. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Joe.
I know you guys were close, and she's performed here at Jazz Fest. You've presented her in Detroit. Talk a little bit about your relationship with Aretha Franklin.
Well, I first met Miss Franklin in the early 60s during the Civil Rights Movement. In the early days, she used to go around with Dr. King and perform along with Mahalia Jackson. And I was actually being introduced to Mahalia Jackson, and Aretha was standing next to her. And so it was pretty amazing. And then, of course, I followed her career and I loved her music. And I didn't get reintroduced to her until I took over as artistic director for Detroit Music Hall Center for the Performing Arts in 2000. And we presented her twice a year in Detroit at Music Hall, which she loved. She loved Music Hall because it was during Jim Crow, it was the only theater in Detroit that was never segregated and always had an African-American staff. And so it was an honor to be there. And we met there, and I reminded her that we had met during the 60s, which, you know, she, of course, didn't remember. But she told me that her father used to preach, Reverend C.L. Franklin used to preach in the music hall when New Bethel Baptist was under renovation. And so we forged a bond that day. And I presented her on Valentine's Day, and we always presented a Christmas concert with her. So I got to present her for 12 times at music hall. And then I asked her to headline the 25th anniversary of the Detroit International Jazz Festival, which I also produced back in around 2005. And so then she came to Syracuse a couple of years later. I asked her if she would come to Syracuse and do our 25th in 2007.
And if I remember, that was an interesting conversation. Remind me how that conversation went.
Well, I was monkeying around with my modem on the floor underneath the table with my computer, and the phone rang. And she said, Mr. Malfitano, this is Aretha Franklin. I said, yeah, right. I said, who is this really? She said, no, this is Aretha Franklin. And she said, I got your note, and I'd like to talk to you about coming in to appear at Syracuse Jazz Fest. And I hit my head on the table, and that was it. And we talked for a bit. And then she called me back a couple days later, and she said, Mr. Malfitano, I've decided that I'm going to play your festival. And I said, oh, my God, I'm about to cry. And she said, you should be happy, not crying. I said, well, they're tears of joy, Miss Franklin. I said, I'm so happy I could sing. She said, well, you better not do that. Then I would cry.
Don't trouble the water.
I won't.
Get along. Why don't you let it be?
Now, this is one of the most celebrated artists of our time. What did it mean to get her here in Syracuse?
If I had never presented, I started out as a student musician back in 58 in high school, which is 60 years ago, and I've been a presenter of music since 72 for the last 46 years, 35 with Jazz Fest. If I had never presented another artist in my life, I would have considered my life complete having presented the Queen of Soul. She was that great.
Dubbed the Queen of Soul, but her music really transcended genres, didn't it?
You know, She was the queen of soul, pop, jazz, blues, rhythm and blues, opera, whatever she wanted to sing. She could sing the Detroit phone book and I would have been happy. I mean, she was incredibly well-versed, you know. I mean, her background, I mean, the people that used to hang out at her house, everybody from Art Tatum and Oscar Peterson to Lou Rawls, I mean, Sam Cooke. I mean, you know, Aretha was just a musical treasure and a wealth of musical knowledge. I mean, she could do it all, and she did it great, and she did it better than anybody as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of folks talk about her early gospel beginnings and obviously referring to her as the Queen of Soul. But what gets lost in the conversation, I think, is what a tremendous jazz vocalist she was. Early in her career, she put out a couple of albums of jazz standards. One of my favorite songs ever is her rendition of This Bitter Earth. I mean, it is powerful.
You know, the early style, after John Hammond signed her to Columbia in the early days when she was doing jazz and blues and jazzy blues, you know, and Dinah Washington type stuff and standards. I mean, that's when she went to New York, and that was the infancy before the Atlantic years and before the Arista years. And she hung out at the Vanguard in the Village Gate and got to meet Mingus and all the cats in New York. And, you know, she loved it. She loved jazz, and you could tell. I mean, Charlie Parker, she got totally into Charlie Parker in the early days. And after that, you know, she loved the music, and it loved her back.
What do you think is the most defining song for you of Aretha Franklin's? Not what she will be known best for from the public, but for you, what says Aretha Franklin?
Well, I know one of her favorite songs was Ain't No Way.
For me to love you, if you want, let me.
Written by her sister. You know, and her sisters used to sing with her, Carolyn and Irma, used to back her up. I know that was a personal favorite, and the one Stevie wrote for her, Till You Come Back to Me. But the early stuff, all the way back, you know, I Never Loved a Man the Way That I Love You, You're All I Need. I mean, wow, Aretha. I mean, it's infinite. The book is infinite. I mean, whether she covered the Beatles with Let It Be,
find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
And just did the most amazing gospel rendition I've ever heard of a Beatles tune, or whether it was Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water. I mean, there are too many songs that she did that have significance for me that are deep and personal, Joe. I can't narrow it down to just one. Obviously, when she did Otis Redding's Respect and made it her own, I mean, that was the stratosphere. That was it.
You spent a lot of time with her. Almost 20 years friendship. What do you think? What do you think she enjoyed most out of life?
She loved the music and she loved God. I mean, she was a child of God and a force of nature. There's no question about that. And we used to talk about music all the time. I mean, Shirley Caesar was one of her favorite artists, you know. And I remember one time at a tribute somewhere, Clark Terry and Al Jarreau did Mumbles. And you know, we talk about the Grammys. We talk about the duet she did with Mary J. Blige for the Bobby Kennedy film biography, Bobby, Never Gonna Break My Faith. Always our conversation centered around music. You know, the BET honors where everyone was there singing in tribute to her. And we'd talk about her gowns, and we'd talk about the rumors about whether or not she was going to get married again. And you know, we had a lot of fun over the years, and she emailed me frequently. She'd call me from the tour bus. She'd call me from a hotel room in Las Vegas, you know, and She had a box seat at Music Hall whenever she wanted to come down, whenever she was in town, you know. And I loved talking to her about Jackie Wilson and, you know, all the Detroit greats. I mean, she was really a Detroiter. She thought the Detroit players were the best on the planet. And, you know, this is somebody who played with the best of the best in New York and then went to Muscle Shoals and for all the Atlantic sessions, you know. And, I mean, she played piano with the Muscle Shoals section. I mean, that's how great a piano player she was. I remember we were talking one night after a gig, and she was telling me she was going to be studying at Juilliard, and she was working with the National Black Theater Ensemble, you know. So she took acting very seriously. We talked about the Blues Brothers movie, and we talked about a Broadway show that never came to pass, and we talked about the film and who would play her in the film. And I mean, early on, I don't think she warmed too much to the idea of Jennifer Hudson playing her. But later in career, I think she, after Jennifer paid her dues, I think Aretha really started warming to that idea. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a forthcoming biopic on Aretha starring Jennifer Hudson.
Is there a special moment from her time here in Syracuse that you remember?
Well, yeah. It's very personal, so I don't, you know, but I'm happy to share it. My mother, God rest her soul, was 90 years old and coming to Jazz Fest, still coming to Jazz Fest, and she went backstage to meet Miss Franklin. Miss Franklin wanted to meet Mom, and of course, Mom had a hard time climbing up into the dressing room RV, So Aretha grabbed both of her hands and held on to her so she could get into the trailer. And she said, Miss Franklin, I want to thank you for all you've done for my son. And Miss Franklin said, I want to thank you for all your son's done for me. So it doesn't get any more special than that. You know, I mean, her son played on many of the gigs, Teddy, great guitar player, and her sister-in-law, Erlene, who was married to Cecil, was a good friend of mine in Detroit. And, you know, we spent a lot of time together. And I always felt blessed. I always felt like I was in the presence of royalty.
Change, change, change. Change, change.
African-American musical royalty, just an iconic figure. For me, the greatest artist the world has ever known, and certainly the greatest artist that America has ever produced. There was another time, Joe, that really knocked me out. When she was playing Music Hall, a lot of the backup singers were on the road and stuff, and they had to fly in and they had to do a rehearsal the night before the gig. And I watched her take the band through rehearsal and realized what a consummate fundamentalist she was as a musician. She was the ultimate. I mean, beyond her piano playing and her vocalists, you know, her vocal stylings and her incredible range and her talent. I mean, man, she was a great arranger and a great conductor. And she really, I was so impressed with how on top of everything she was. She knew who'd been practicing and who hadn't, but she was always cool with everybody. You know, she never put anybody down. She was very generous, very gracious, very wonderful. I mean, there was a spiritual essence around Miss Franklin that was an aura. That's all I can tell you. And it never ceased to be exciting. I mean, every time I presented her 16 times, and every time was like the first time. And I always wanted to be at my very best, and I always wanted to make sure everything was first rate for her.
How will she best be remembered? How do you think?
I think, you know, Rolling Stone called her the greatest female vocalist of all time. She's the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award honoree, Kennedy Center honors. I think that people will remember her from her hits and from her awards, but I also think they'll remember her as a champion of civil rights, a champion of women's rights, a champion of African Americans. You know, she, when the Super Bowl, I was in Detroit working in Detroit when the Super Bowl came to Detroit. I think it might have been 2006. I think it was against your guys, the Steelers or something. But I remember she was upset that there weren't more Detroit musicians being hired for the Super Bowl and the parties around the Super Bowl and main events at the Super Bowl. And I thought, here's a woman who could have just taken the gig and said thank you, but no, you know, she was a champion for Detroit musicians. So I'll remember her as a champion. I think the world will remember her as just the greatest. You know, there are moments in her career arc was 50, 60 years. So, but like when she subbed for Luciano Pavarotti and sang Nessun Dorma at the Grammys, I mean, and everybody went, oh my God, what was that? Well, that was Aretha. That was the brilliance of Aretha. We'll never see anything like that again in our lifetime. And, you know, every once in a while you'll hear, oh, an artist like that comes along once in a generation. Or let me tell you something. An artist like Aretha Franklin comes along once in a century.
Yeah.
I'm just blessed that I got to know her, that I got to present her. I thought it was the greatest single honor that could ever be bestowed on a human being. And that's it. I loved her. I'll always love her. And there was no one like her.
Her voice was extremely powerful and unique, and her body of work is undeniable. I want to thank you for coming in and sharing your memories with us.
Thank you, Joe. Tough day. You know, the sky is crying.
At the conclusion of our conversation and after the mics were off, Frank was overcome by emotions, shedding tears for the loss of a friend and undoubtedly the loss of one of the purest talents to come along in our lifetime. The Queen of Soul is gone, but the legacy of music that she leaves behind will last forever.
This bitter, bitter earth. What fruited bear?